Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Liberty Counsel intervenes, and now OSHA has ended its anti-Christian bias against a church. We're going to be talking about this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, this is really interesting and peculiar situation we had with the Occupational Health and Safety Administration. Rescinded its subpoena and inspection demands because it was trying to prevent a pastor from making home renovations on his house that would benefit his church. But OSHA didn't like that.
No, OSHA didn't like it. This was the federal OSHA, so it's the federal OSHA that really has no jurisdiction over a home.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier this year, the elders of a church in a state in the Mid-Atlantic region determined that the renovations the pastor was making to his private property should be paid for by the church because the improvements were directly related and would directly benefit the church's ministries. So after hiring independent contractors to do the renovations, an OSHA compliance safety health officer inspected the property and subsequently subpoenaed the church with unnecessary questions and demands. Under the subpoena, OSHA was treating the church as an employer engaged in commerce rather than considering the pastor as a private individual homeowner just making improvements to his property.
I mean, I would assume the house wasn't a parsonage. It wasn't owned by the church. It was his own house, right?
No, so how this actually began is the house some time ago had some individuals that would come to the house and they would worship in the house. And so this goes back prior to COVID. And you have to kind of put this into the context of COVID, what was happening here.
Mm.
And so before COVID, you had some of these so-called gay-identified people that were on some of the agencies and the...
The DEI situation
DEI,
from Biden.
The local politics. Mm. And they did not like the fact that this church was meeting, that there were people, in other words, meeting in a home for worship.
They have a home church.
They had a home church, and okay. So it was a small group. And then COVID happened. They tried to shut down the church. That didn't work. They tried to stop them from meeting, and it wasn't a large group, by the way, but they were just having Bible studies and prayer in the home. So then what ended up happening is you had COVID hit, and a lot of churches shut down. Well, this particular private home continued to have people over. And again, it's a small group. It's not some large group that's taking up a lot of the parking of the neighborhood. It's a private home, and they would meet in the home for Bible studies and prayer and fellowship. And so they tried to use the COVID restrictions to shut down that church. Well, we got involved in that particular church, and we had to send a demand letter, and we ended up winning that particular battle as well. In fact, this was the second time, because the first time was before COVID, the second time was during COVID. Now you got post-COVID. So here we have the same people.
The nightmare continues.
And yeah, the same people. And they don't want these people gathering together to worship in a home.
Hmm.
So what do? They get the OSHA under the Biden administration to come in, and some of the deep state people that were still hanging over from the Biden administration, and inspect. And so here you got a private homeowner, and he wants to add a little renovation to the home, and he gets a contractor to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people that are coming to the church, hey, we'll pay for this.
Yeah, the elders determined that the church should pay for those renovations.
Right. So then OSHA says, oh, well, you have to shut down. They give them a subpoena with all kinds of demands, and frankly, OSHA has no jurisdiction. Now, how OSHA came in is because it's the same troublemakers, pre-COVID, during COVID, post-COVID. And what we have seen, by the way, Holly, we see it here. We see it in other places. We're seeing it in the military. There are these anti-Christian individuals involved. They used COVID to shut down churches. They used COVID restrictions to mandate the shot against people's sincere religious mm-hmm. convictions. We beat them back. We got injunctions. But those same people that are anti-Christian are still in places of authority. And that's what we have here. They're using the weaponization of the government agency to try to come after the church. We'll have another program at some point in the near future where we're seeing this happen in the military as well. Where in the military, we had individuals who were being pressured to get the shot against their religious beliefs. We filed injunctions. The military superiors were put at bay. And I think we even had one of them say, well, you won this one, but I'll get you later. Well, we're seeing that happen. Yeah. The COVID, post-COVID revenge is what you might call it. So here you have the same thing. So in our demand letter to OSHA, Liberty Council stated that according to OSHA's definition of employer, defined as a person engaged in a business affecting commerce who has employees, the pastor is a homeowner and outside of OSHA's jurisdiction, and therefore OSHA has no business issuing a subpoena. OSHA has no jurisdiction, no power to issue the subpoena to the church, and does not constitute a business that's affecting commerce, nor does a residential homeowner constitute an employer.
Yeah, the church is simply reimbursing the pastor for these home renovations because he uses his house for the church as well.
Yeah, so we said in our demand letter, the burdensome and intrusive nature of the subpoena violates the First Amendment, the Commerce Clause, because OSHA has no jurisdiction, and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the federal law, by placing a substantial burden on the church's free exercise of religion.
You know, and like you're talking about, I'm just listening to you talk about all this COVID stuff. You know, that was a great example where the government likes to stick its nose where it doesn't belong.
Yeah, it does. And the government tries to weaponize itself.
Yeah.
And this is what Donald Trump has been fighting, is the weaponization of government, mm-hmm. trying to de-weaponize the government agencies. And so what we see here is these people pre-COVID tried to use the government to shut down this home fellowship. That was not successful. During COVID, they had a great excuse. They thought, now we can shut down this home meeting in the home for worship. Well, we got involved again. We beat them back a second time.
And we invoked President Trump's executive order called Eradicating Anti-Christian Bias to stop it.
In our demand letter, we actually referred to that.
Yep.
So we raised all the constitutional issues, First Amendment, Commerce Clause, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the federal law, and Donald Trump's executive order. And that executive order is designed to stop exactly what we're seeing.
Yeah, under the order, it's the federal government's policy to protect the religious freedoms of Americans and end the anti-Christian weaponization of government. The order honors the founders' original intent of having a nation where people can freely practice their faith without discrimination or retaliation by their government. And again, we've said this over and over during COVID, the government was created to protect the church, not to control it.
Yeah, and we pointed out the subpoena to a residential homeowner who is also the pastor of a church, under these facts, could very well be a violation of Executive Order 14202 called Eradicating Anti-Christian Bias and Weaponization of Government Against Christians. That's what we wrote in our demand letter. Well, after Liberty Council pointed out the deficiencies of the subpoena and informed OSHA of the previous instances of anti-Christian bias, which I just overviewed, thankfully, OSHA closed the investigation into the pastor's home improvements. But you know what? I'm glad we won this. It's the third time, pre-COVID, COVID, post-COVID.
Third time's a charm, eh?
Well, we'd hope. But, you know, these anti-Christian individuals still have it out. They don't want people gathering together for worship.
Right.
We saw that during COVID. What was the first target of attack? It was the churches. They were considered non-essential. You can't gather. It doesn't matter how big your church is. Doesn't matter how few you have in a sanctuary. Doesn't matter what you do. You can't gather because it's just not essential. But you can jam the big box stores. You can stand in line for your abortion. You can go to your marijuana dispensaries and you can get high on marijuana. You can do all that. That's all essential. You can buy alcohol. That's all essential activity, but you can't gather together to worship. Well, that is clearly what they think about worship and Christians. So we have to continue to battle this. Thank you for your prayers and your support at Liberty Council. All that we do it at no cost to our clients. Again, we've battled back for the third time to continue to have this Christian fellowship continue, and this is just one of many efforts of Liberty Council around the country. For more information, go to Liberty Council's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.